The following is a presentation of the Chicago Bears Network. On the air, online, and on demand. Visit the Chicago Bears Network page on chicagobears.com. And now, welcome to Bears All Access, your all-access pass into Chicago Bears football, featuring Zach Zaidman, Tom Thayer, and your favorite Chicago Bears players. Bears All Access is brought to you by Sports Authority and sponsored by Giordano's, Miller Lite, and University of Phoenix.
Good evening, hello, and welcome. It's a live edition of Bears All Access brought to you by Sports Authority, coming to you from the Chicago Bears Network studios at Hallis Hall in front of an audience tonight from the Jones Lang LaSalle Company. Thank you so much for being with us on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. Zach Zaidman here, 85 Bear. Tom Thayer is along, and our first visit on Bears All Access from safety Ryan Mundy. Welcome aboard.
Thanks a lot. I'm happy to be here. Thanks for having me.
I apologize, and you don't even know why, but I'll tell you why. Yesterday, Ryan started tweeting. He was very excited. Pittsburgh Pirates, his favorite baseball team. They're in the playoffs, trying to advance in that big wild card game.
Didn't go well.
It did not go well.
Did not go well. But they made it. I mean, they've done much better than they have in the past when I was growing up because they were just absolutely awful throughout the 90s and the early 2000s. So the past couple of years, they've definitely stepped their game up and made a Pittsburgh native proud.
That shows you the difference in the era we grew up, because I remember great things by the Pittsburgh Pirates when I was growing up with the songs that accompanied their friendship within the organization.
We are
and everything.
Family. The old Pirates of the 70s. Hey, the Cubs and White Sox would love to be in the position that the Pirates were in last night, just with an opportunity to compete for that. That's a big deal.
Yeah, it was a very big deal, and I think they had the largest crowd in PNC history last night. So, you know, Pittsburgh definitely rallies around their sports teams, but unfortunately, the Buccos came up short last night.
This segment of Bears All Access is brought to you by Subway. Are you guys finally over what happened last weekend?
Yeah. I think we've been over it for a while. You know, Coach Trestman breaks it down into 16 one-game seasons. And, you know, you have to digest it and analyze the game and see what went wrong and what went right. And then once Tuesday comes around, it's time to get ready for the next week's opponent. Because they're certainly getting ready for you. And I think we did a great job of having good effort and energy throughout this week of practice. And, you know, we got one more day of practice. And I think we're moving in the right direction and getting ready for Carolina.
You know, fortunately, as a player, you have to get over it because you don't have time to dwell on it because you're just going to screw yourself up for the next game. But as a fan, because at the bottom line is that's what we are before anything else. And, you know, being a fan and having the opportunity to play here and all that, I'm still a fan. And still, you know, it has a chance to linger in the fans a little bit longer. Because even when you walk around the streets and meet the people out there, that's the first subject they bring up. It's not like, man, I'm looking for Cam Newton this week or Ron Rivera and all this kind of stuff. Yeah. It's still, you know, thinking about that. But you go back and what you guys did in San Francisco and New York and you repeat that away from Chicago performance, everybody's going to get right back in that winning attitude and that winning frame of mind that the fans have, not the players.
Yeah, and that's definitely the goal. And like you mentioned, we definitely opened our season up on the road with a tough two-game away stretch on coast to coast, you know, starting with San Francisco and then coming all the way back to the East Coast. I think that was a little understated because that was definitely a tough feat. But I think the most important thing is we can't overstate the importance of winning at home and winning in front of our fans, and that's something that we're definitely looking forward to our next opportunity of doing. But first, we got to take care of these two road games first.
Visiting with Bears safety Ryan Mundy here on Bears All Access, brought to you by Sports Authority. That's the weird thing about the start to this season. If you break it down into quarters, this is the first time in Bears history, and they've been playing football since 1920. It's the first time in Bears history that the Bears have won their first two road games and lost their first two home games.
Wow. We're on the wrong side of history right there. I don't know really how to take that.
Well, you're
you know, like I said, it was definitely impressive for us to go on the road and win those games, but winning at home is of the utmost importance. And I think that's how I break the season down into quarters. So ultimately, I feel like we should be 3-1 in every quarter. And if we're 3-1 in every quarter, then we'll be right where we need to be at the end of the season.
Yeah, I don't know whoever started breaking the season down in the quarters, but I never heard of it, and I don't put much into it because I just think it's about winning the next. Because if you talk about quarters, then it's just about the next game in front of you and all that. And that's the reality of it.
Yeah.
And things change so quickly. The season, the night games, the day games, and all that. That's what the process is about. Is if you think everything's built down to four, and if a coach that's 0-4, he's talking a lot differently than a coach that's 3-1. But
certainly,
it is about the team getting better, going into Carolina, taking advantage of their weaknesses and making you guys a better team than you were a week ago.
Yeah, definitely. And it kind of goes hand in hand. I think a lot was being asked about our defense and are we finding our identity and all this other stuff. I think that, you know, we know what we want to be, and we have to go out there and prove that on a week-to-week basis. Just because Aaron Rodgers had a bad week or a bad first start to the season doesn't mean that he's still not Aaron Rodgers and doesn't have capable guys at his disposal to make plays for him. But you have to go out there and prove it on a week-in and week-out basis.
What have you learned about yourselves? Because there's so many new guys that have been asked to mesh together and play at a certain level that you talked about. For the first month of the season, what have you learned about the Bears defense that, say, you didn't know before the season started?
I didn't learn anything new. To be honest with you, coming into this, we knew that we had a lot of new players. But the great thing about that is we had a lot of veteran players, guys who have played a lot of football at a very high level for a very long time. So I think that that helped ease the transition into coming together and gelling. And like I said, we're not where we want to be, but we're definitely trending in the right direction. And it always boils down to execution with us.
Go ahead.
No, well, I was just going to finish up with saying it's always about execution with us. So, you know, as we continue to work together in jail, the bottom line is if we just go out there and take care of our job, then we'll be okay.
You know, your position specifically, because I was thinking about Jimmy Graham in the offseason, and he was negotiating because he's saying a certain percentage of the time he lines up as wide receiver or tight end and all this. And then when you introduced Isaiah Fry last week on the show, I don't think we do enough credit because the multiple positions that you play as a safety nowadays in these offenses, it's an incredible feat that you have to be able to play at the line of scrimmage, off the line of scrimmage, as the, you know, deep as the guy, deepest guy on the field. And you know, your position inside this defense means a lot to the overall success of this team defense.
We'll talk about that next, all the different responsibilities Ryan Mundy has when we come back. Plus, I don't know if you had a chance to see Ryan Mundy when he's not wearing his football helmet, but there is this huge visible sign of his toughness on the right side of his forehead. We'll discuss next here on Bears All Access, brought to you by Sports Authority, in front of our friends from Jones Lang LaSalle Company on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. Score with Wendy's, and the Chicago Bears pick up a scratch and win card at participating Wendy's restaurants, and you'll be a winner. You could win Chicago Bears tickets, Chicago Bears gear, or discounts on Wendy's food. Quantities are limited. We're broadcasting live. Bears All Access, brought to you by Sports Authority from the Chicago Bears Network Studios here at Hallis Hall, in front of our live studio audience from the Jones Lang LaSalle Company. And they are here to listen to every word from Bears safety Ryan Mundy, who joins 85 Bear Tom Thayer and me here on the show for the full hour. And before I went to the commercial break, I brought up what happened during the third preseason game in Seattle. During the it was an awkward kind of thing. So Ryan has a big hit on the field, and then he comes back to the sideline, and you know, something's not right, right? You're kind of feeling around your helmet, and you know, the equipment staff, I think they were the first guys to come over. And then and you take your helmet off, and then all of a sudden, all you see is this blood. More blood than I've ever seen on the sidelines. And you had this gash, and you still do, on your right forehead. It's in the shape of a kind of like a little bit of an L, if you will.
Yeah, it's an L.
How many stitches?
15 stitches.
Oh, man.
15 stitches. Yeah. It just happened when I made contact. Sometimes my job gets a little dirty, and I got to do some dirty work in there, and I had to go in there and take on the fullback. And the fullback, you know, he's a good player, strong guy, and, you know, I'm not going to back down from him. I'm not afraid of him, so I got to go in there and do what I got to do, right? But I went in there. We had a major collision, and something just didn't feel right. So I went off to the sideline, and at first day I thought I had a concussion because, I mean, it was like a very violent and loud collision. But I was like, no, I'm fine. I'm not woozy or anything like that. And then I took my helmet off, and like you mentioned, just the floodgates opened.
Right.
I mean, there was blood just pouring down my face. And I'm like, oh, wow, this is crazy. Like, this has never happened. Like, I get cut from my helmet. And actually what happened, so there was a pad in my helmet that has a slight edge to it. Wasn't as smooth as it needed to be.
Oh.
And upon contact, that edge got pressed against my forehead, and it gave me a L-shaped cut.
You know, the old Pac-3 helmets they used to make, they didn't have the technology that they can freeze and thaw quickly, so they used to crack all the time and then leave cuts on your forehead like professional wrestlers.
So now you wear a new helmet.
Oh, yeah. I had to get out of that
and
very fast, immediately.
Did the company of the old helmet get a letter from...
We're still filling that process out, but I got to make sure that... you know, I do my diligence and make sure that I make the right decision moving forward.
How long did it take, you know, when you had the 15 stitches on, and thankfully for you, you had a couple of weeks before you had to play in a real game.
Mm-hmm.
How long did it take before you could put a helmet back on your head without irritating that L-shaped scar?
So I had my stitches in for about 10 days. And like you said, it actually happened at the right time, if you want to put it like that. But I didn't play the Cleveland game. And I was back in time for the first practice of the Buffalo Bills game. So I was out about a week, probably missed total practice time, maybe four or five days, something like that.
One of the more fascinating things, and we're visiting with Bears safety Ryan Mundy here on Bears All Access. To me, one of the more fascinating things about the safety position is the way you've been able to kind of form a little bit of chemistry on the field with Chris Conte, because he missed most of the offseason and the preseason. Then you were out when he finally came back. You were out for a little bit. And then, boom, it's game day, and it counts. Mm-hmm. How do you develop the chemistry that you need in order to succeed back there?
Well, I think that just goes to the point that I spoke about earlier with a lot of guys being on our defense who have played a lot of football at a high level for a very long time. That's definitely important. And Chris has been in every meeting. He's seen all the practice tape. He's received all the coaching points, just like all the other safeties. So when we go on the field, you know, all it is about going out there and actually doing it and executing, because we know what to do from a mental standpoint. And, you know, it's been good so far. We've had very good chemistry. We're playing to his strengths and we're playing to my strengths. And so far, I think we're doing well.
Jay Hilgenberg, the center that played for the Bears, he says that you get treated unfairly because you play safety, but you're expected to do what a linebacker does. But then you get fined if you hit a receiver across the middle. He says you have the toughest job today in football. Do you agree with that? And where is your game? Is your game closer to the line of scrimmage where you want to have contact quick? Or do you like approaching things and maybe working with Bostic or working with Lance or something?
I would not disagree with that statement. Playing safety in the NFL is an increasingly difficult job as we move forward. Especially with the development of offenses and the way that they're spreading the field out. They're no longer just using one side of the field. They're making you use all 53 and 30 the yards that the football field covers. And to play safety in the NFL now, you need to be able to play in space. Like you mentioned, guys like Jimmy Graham, other tight ends who are versatile enough to flex out and make you cover them one-on-one in space. So, you know, it's
this week, right?
Yeah, we will.
Yeah, they'll see Martellus Bennett.
Yeah, well, actually, Marty is.
Seems like every team's got one.
But Marty has done a great job of preparing Chris and I because, you know, I consider Marty to be in that conversation. He's having an outstanding year, and he's definitely a physical specimen. But that's, you know, that's something that we don't walk around like we have stones in our pocket, like, woe is me. I have to play linebacker this play. I have to stop the run. But then the next play, I might have to go out in the slot and cover receiver. We embrace that, and we look at it as a challenge and get excited about it.
It sure weeds out the candidates for your position. If you think of the positions of the old, what you considered a tight end, a big, slow, lumbering big guy off the line of scrimmage, or
no, those days are over.
Right. Those guys are over. There are no longer safeties that – he's a little stiff, but he thinks the game. No, if you're not a full-time athlete, it's tough to play.
Yeah, definitely. I think, you know, and that goes to our defense this year. You know, typically the Chicago Bears have been booked as a cover two team with two high safeties. But this year, because of the type of offenses we've been playing, I've been playing a lot more in the box. But, you know, that's definitely something that I'm able to do, whether the team needs me to play in a box or you need me to play cover two or you need me to come down and cover Jimmy Graham. That's something that I get excited about, either one of those.
For people who don't know, Ryan started his – he's a Michigan man, Tom, by the way.
Go Blue.
Go, you know, Irish.
So
go Irish.
No fighting here.
Somebody just showed me a picture. You know how people just get creative with these pictures and stuff on Instagram. Somebody showed me a picture. It said – it was a Michigan picture, and they were celebrating and said, yes, we won the coin toss. I didn't know. I chuckled a little bit, but I was like, oh, okay.
It's on.
It is on.
I don't know why anyone would want to rile you up, but I mean, you know, everybody, that's on them.
I was 3-1 against Michigan at Notre Dame.
And then here's this.
Well, there's
I was 2-2.
Hey,
I was 2-2.
Ryan Mundy spent a little time in South Bend this offseason. We'll explain next. Oh. Mundy, Thayer, Zaidman, Bears All Access, brought to you by Sports Authority in front of our friends from the Jones Lang LaSalle Company here at the Chicago Bears Network Studios at Halas Hall on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. The Bears thank Giordano's Famous Stuffed Pizza for providing dinner tonight. Stop by one of their 44 Chicagoland locations for Chicago's favorite stuffed pizza or visit Giordano's.com to order now. Bears All Access rolls on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score, brought to you by Sports Authority from the Chicago Bears Network Studios at Halas Hall in front of our live audience from the Jones Lang LaSalle Company. Zach Zaidman, Tom Thayer visiting with Bears safety Ryan Mundy. M-U-N-D-Y.
Mundy.
Mundy.
You know, when you had your first pick six against the Jets, I believe you were being referred to as Monday Night Football.
Yeah, I've been waiting my whole entire life to hear that.
What's it like when a defensive player gets the ball in their hands and you cross the end zone there and you score a touchdown?
It was really indescribable. I didn't have an end zone celebration plan. I just, like, I did it. Threw the ball up. But as soon as I caught it, I was like, man, I have to score, because I had a play last year when I was with the Giants, Sunday Night Football, first game of the season. I had an interception, and I took it 91 yards all the way to the one-yard line.
Oh, no.
Did not get in. Did not get
so
in.
So an offensive player stopped you.
Yeah.
That's unacceptable.
It was kind of bad. It was kind of bad.
Who was it? Who caught you?
DeMarco Murray. And he actually ran through, like, three people to get me.
Leading rusher in the NFL. So
not like
right
Zach
now.
Yeah.
But there's still more to that story.
Oh.
So the offense gets the ball, and they have three tries to get in from the one.
Right.
And they don't get in. So I don't feel as bad, because I ran 91 yards to get them to the one, but they had three tries from the one and still couldn't get in.
All right, can I already relive the Geno Smith play for a second? So second play of the game, after a penalty, Geno Smith comes the fake to the running back away from you. Now he's going to turn his back all the way away from you and just throw the ball to that spot, hoping that you are influenced away from that position. But the receiver underneath you didn't go deep enough to influence you, and nothing caught your attention. Did you know it the whole time? Did you know, hey, this is coming right to me, I better catch it?
I had a feeling. Screenplays are, they're typically longer.
And
developing.
The center came out. When Nick Mangold came out, that was an indication that the ball's coming.
Well, my biggest key was, like you said, the receiver, he took a hard inside release.
Right.
So I'm coached not to chase him inside. My responsibility is to flat to the left, so that's where I just stayed. And like I was saying, the screen to play is a longer developing play, so you kind of see it coming. And I just, you know, played on my instincts and went for it. I was actually going up there just to make a tackle, but I said, oh, the ball's here, so let me catch it.
He was so surprised, like when he just threw it to that spot, thinking there's only supposed to be one
guy
there.
But typically that's what happens with younger quarterbacks. They just throw the spots.
If that one receiver would have took a deep route over the top of your shoulder, do you think it would have turned you and had you run?
Yeah, if he would have had a vertical release, like went up the field, my responsibility would have been to get my hands on him and disrupt him from going upfield. So I would have probably been a little bit deeper, and I wouldn't have been as close to the line of scrimmage.
See, the game is all about experience, I think. When you have experience, there are games that you can play, and that's what makes it, I guess, frustrating last week when you're taking on a guy who can play those kind of head games with a defense.
Yeah, oh, yeah, definitely. When you talk about Aaron Rodgers, he's definitely one of the best. Going into the game, our plan was to try to give him some different snap. I mean, different looks pre-snap and also
disguises.
Yeah, disguise our coverages and then roll to where we needed to be post-snap to make him read it. Because either way, he was going to read it. But sometimes he would just be looking at me right in my eyes and just start smiling because he's like, I know what you're doing. But, you know, I'm still trying to do my best poker face, but he's seeing right through me sometimes. But I think for the most part, after we got settled in a little bit, we did make him work and earn every play that he got.
Tom went to Notre Dame. Ryan went to Michigan for 3 years, and then you
four.
Finished 4 years.
Yeah,
excuse
graduated.
Me. You graduated, and then because of a rule in college where you can get your master's degree at a different university and still play if you have eligibility, you went to West Virginia and closed things out.
Yep.
And but you spent some time in South Bend this past summer.
I did. It was a gray, overcast, rainy, bad weather. Bad food.
Oh.
Just a... Yep.
Nah. Staring you down, Tom.
I know. Hey, I've been there. I know.
No, I was actually down there. This is my second year, participating in the NFL business management and entrepreneurship programs. And this particular program that was at Notre Dame this year dealt with developing business plans and working on your entrepreneurship skills. So I went down there for, it was a three-day program with about 20 guys. And, you know, we just fellowshipped and learned how to, you know, construct a proper business plan and just really got my business acumen together. And the year before, I actually went to the Wharton School in Philadelphia, and that one dealt with commercial development and real estate. So both of those experiences were really beneficial to me, and I look forward to using that knowledge post-career.
You should have put a bucket up here to take business cards like the tips of piano. You know, keep that thing going. But I do admire that because, you know, I was saying for 10 years, I said, all I'm going to do is play football. There's nothing else I'm going to do. Even the off season, everything I'm going to do is geared towards football. Do you think now you're more encouraged to get involved in those types of things in the off season? Or is it something that you want to do personally and that's just your habits the way they've been through the off season is getting involved in those other things?
I think it was a process. So when I was a younger player, I'm sitting here saying younger and I'm 29 years old, but when I was a younger player, I was just solely focused on football, doing everything that I can to make sure that I established myself and gave myself the best opportunity to really last 7 years. But as I got older, you start to realize that the locker room's changing. This guy's not here anymore. That guy's not here anymore. And you start to think about, well, okay, there's going to come a day where I'm not going to be here anymore. So when that day comes, I need to make sure that I'm ready for that.
Who influenced you the most when you first came into the league? Who were the veterans that kind of took you under their wing?
Man, I couldn't ask for it to come into a better situation and a better locker room than the Pittsburgh Steelers. You know, I had great guys to learn from, particularly at my position, arguably two of the best safeties at the time, and Ryan Clark and Troy Polamalu. And those guys really showed me how to be a pro on the field, but also off the field, you know, how to be a good husband, how to be a good father. And, you know, I believe in balance, and having you know, my off-the-field life directly affects my on-the-field life. So just trying to balance those out.
Ryan Clark is an analyst, and he's playing. It's like the Brandon Marshall of the other network, right?
Yeah. You better be good. That's the one thing about it. I think it'd be fun to be able to do that, but if you go out there and you play horrible on the weekend, you better not be out there, you know, talking the sport but not doing it right on Sundays.
Yeah, but, you know, thankfully, I haven't seen Brandon on TV, but... you know, Ryan has done a great job on ESPN. He's been on First Take. And, you know, that's something that he wants to do. And I think, you know, that's not for everybody. I don't think that's for me. I'm not sure yet. But, you know, we'll see.
He's a businessman. He's got bigger and better aspirations
than doing this.
I'm figuring it out
right now.
You know, I saw Brandon Marshall the other day on Inside the NFL. He was the moderator of a discussion on the Jets quarterback situation with two former Jets, Joe Namath and Boomer Esiason. Phil Sims was there. And he, you know what he's got down? I told him this the other day. He's got that serious face down when someone's talking. You pretend like you're really interested in what he's saying. He doesn't care about Geno Smith.
No.
But he was listening. We got to take a timeout. When we come back here with Ryan Mundy on Bears All Access, we'll find out just how much Ryan Mundy knows about the Chicago Bears in Are You a Bears Authority? Brought to you by Sports Authority from the Chicago Bears Network Studios here at Hallis Hall. This is Bears All Access in front of our live audience from the Jones Lang LaSalle Company on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. This segment of Bears All Access is brought to you by H.H. Gregg, Appliances, Electronics, Furniture. This is Bears All Access brought to you by Sports Authority, live from the Chicago Bears Network Studios here at Hallis Hall in front of our audience from JLL 85 Bear. Tom Thayer is here, and he's already gearing to go to play Are You a Bears Authority. I'm Zach.
Wait, I have a faulty buzzer.
No, you got to slap it.
There you go. That is the soulful sound of one Ryan Mundy, the Bears safety, who will be playing this game for the very first time. And here's how we play. I ask a question. If you know the answer, you hit that buzzer that you guys have been hitting. Whoever hits it first gets the chance to answer first. If you don't get it right, the other person can answer the question. All the questions are multiple choice, so it would benefit you to listen to me giving all the choices. And whoever's got the most right after seven questions will win a Sports Authority gift certificate for a lucky Bears fan. So, Tom, you're playing for Jake Holland from Barrington, and Ryan, you're playing for Mike Lee from Chicago. And if you're listening right now, you want to sign up to a future game, go to chicagobears.com/CBN and click on the Bears All Access page where you can also listen to all of our shows. Ready?
Ready.
Ready.
Good luck. Here we go. Question number one. Ryan. The equipment works. Question number one. Panthers head coach Ron Rivera played linebacker for the Bears from 1984 to 1992.
Cal.
Incorrect, Tom. He wore... So, Ryan, you might want to wait until I finish the question and give the choices. He wore number 59 when he played for the Bears. Who wears number 59 now for the Bears? The choices. Lance Briggs...
Oh, he should not get any choices, and if he doesn't know this.
We already established the rules. You're out on this one.
Technically, Ryan isn't just a businessman. He's a lawyer, too. He's right.
I love it.
All right, so here are the choices. Lance Briggs,
definitely
Christian Jones, Kasim Green, Jonathan Bostic.
Mm-hmm. B.
Bostic, right?
No. Christian Jones.
Correct. Christian Jones is number 59.
A.K.A. Cheese.
Cheese. Why is he called Cheese?
Because he's always smiling.
it's a Jameis Winston thing, I think, right? He went to Florida State.
Yeah.
Pretty good young player.
You want to be associated with Jameis Winston.
See, there you go. That's
but
the
Cheese. I like being associated with Cheese.
Not up north. Question number two. Right. It's a 1-0 lead for Mundy over Thayer. Question number two. In which of the following categories does Jay Cutler not hold the Bears' all-time record in? Here are the choices. Career passing yards, career passer rating, career pass completions, career touchdown passes. Ryan. Right.
Career passer rating.
Incorrect.
What number, what letter was that?
Let me read the choices.
I only know him by A, B, C.
That was B. Is that how you took the SAT? Career passer yards, career pass completions, career touchdown passes.
This is like Price is Right. Someone should out there telling me higher, lower. I'll go A.
Incorrect. It's career touchdown passes. That's Sid Luckman is number one all time.
Thought so.
Yeah, he set that record in the 40s. And
they threw the ball back then?
They did. Man, the Bears.
Jump passes.
Tell them about the T formation, Tom.
It was a great thing.
All right. It's a 1-0 lead for Mundy over Thayer. We go to question number three. How long was Bears punter Pat O'Donnell's longest punt in his college career? The choices, 60 yards, 64 yards, 76 yards, 81 yards. Tom.
76.
Correct.
Yes.
Now, I thought.
You don't blame the. In Jeopardy, you don't blame the buzzer.
Yeah, but I'm a little disappointed. You're a safety.
1-1.
You gotta hit it hard. Okay. And they call a mega punch. So, yeah, that's.
Mega
that's
punt.
76 yards. That's pretty impressive. All right. 1-1 tie. Mundy and Thayer. Question number four. What year did Bears head equipment manager Tony Medlin start working for the team?
Start working for the team as a head equipment manager or assistant?
Don't tell him.
Start working for the team, according to the question. The choices, 1987, 1989, 1992, 1995. All right, I'm going to pick Ryan because he's hitting his buzzer and it's not working. So, Ryan, go ahead.
We'll go with 89.
Incorrect.
87?
Correct, Tom.
I was here.
You should know.
I know. I did know it. I was just giving you a chance to catch up.
You were showing some courtesy. But thank you.
It doesn't say poke it. It says slap the buzzer. That's the way. There you go.
Veteran move, Tom.
Right.
So tell us stories about Tony Medlin. He's one of the most decorated equipment managers in the National Football League. He's been doing it for a long time. And he's more than just an equipment manager. He's a psychologist. He's a friend. He's a confidant.
I used to torment that poor guy because I used to come to the locker room one of the first guys every day, and he was our coffee supplier. And if there wasn't pots filled with coffee, you'd go in there and you'd just yell and scream his name, and he'd have to come out and make more coffee. Now you have the luxury of the cafeteria and everything, but we had nothing. The only thing we had to count on was two coffee makers, and you wanted the pots to be full, and it was Tony's job to do it, but it wasn't his job. But, you know, he's that's why he's lasted so long, because he's such a great guy.
Because he made great coffee.
Yep.
That's the key. You want longevity, make coffee.
And he teaches, I mean, the wisdom that he provides for some of the younger players.
Yeah, yeah. When I came here, he was definitely accommodating, helped me out. Everyone makes fun of him because he always makes you take your cleats off before you enter the building. So the joke is, take your cleats off, take your cleats off. Right? That's how he sounds.
You know, guys that come here to be ball boys, he makes those guys write essays why they would be good at being a ball boy here for the Chicago Bears. And I think that's the good thing about it, is he takes that extra step, and it's not just about football.
Right. 2-1 lead for Thayer over Mundy. We go to question number 5. Charles Tillman holds the Bears franchise record for career interception return yards. How many yards does he have? The choices: 250.
I know this.
435, 675, 1120. Ryan.
675.
Correct.
Yes.
Man, you know about your teammates. Did you read up on them before you joined?
I had seen that number before. 1,000 yards is a lot of yards.
Right.
200 wasn't enough because he has like 30-something interceptions. So I just went with 6. It was a good number.
Have you learned how to perform the peanut punch?
I'm working on it. Turnovers and takeaways are something that we focus on day in and day out. I'll tell you who is doing a good job of with it is Kyle, Kyle Fuller. I think he has the Fuller fumble. We'll call it that.
Fuller fumble. Fuller fumble. I like it. You know, he's the NFC Defensive Rookie of the Month.
Yep. The young man is doing an outstanding job for us.
Did you know from the first practice that this guy had the ability to immediately adapt to the NFL game right away?
I did. He's definitely a hard worker, a very focused young man who takes pride in his work and is willing to put the time in to be the best.
Down the stretch we go here, a 2-2 tie between Mundy and Thayer. Question number 6. Speaking of which, how many interceptions did Bears rookie corner Kyle Fuller have at Virginia Tech? The choices: 4, 6, 8, 10.
6.
Correct, Ryan.
You better know that.
You got some competition.
Defensive backs.
Yeah, no, he went to Defensive Back University. That's the nickname,
You're
right?
You're giving all these modern day questions.
Well, I mean, we've got a modern day Bear.
What number was I?
I'd have to Google that.
Right. Can I give you a hint? I'll give you a hint.
Same number as Olin Krutz.
I would have to Google that too.
Yeah, it's and now it's on the defensive side of the locker room for the Bears. Jonathan Bostic's number
57.
Yeah,
number's got longevity built into it. Yeah. So I told him the first day they gave it to Bostic, this number's going to be good to you.
All right, we go to question number 7. A 3-2 lead for Mundy over Thayer. In the history of the Bears franchise, what is the most interceptions the Bears defense has ever had in one game? The choices: 5, 6, 7, 8.
5.
Incorrect, Tom.
That was a guess.
Now you win the game, Ryan, so congratulations. The answer: 7. It's been done 4 times.
I was
going to
say that.
You
I was going to say
yeah,
so.
Yeah, I believe you. I mean, there's nothing to make me think you wouldn't. No, 67, 54, 42, and 40 were the years that it happened. Congratulations to Ryan Mundy.
Go Blue.
For winning his first ever.
Go Blue.
And Orange.
Did you get diplomas? Do you get diplomas from both Michigan and West Virginia?
I have not completed my master's degree at West Virginia, but I do have my diploma from the great University of Michigan.
Well, congratulations. That's a big thing for any of the young football players listening. You need to have some balance, Ryan, in order to succeed in life. And because Ryan wins, that means that Mike Lee from Chicago gets a gift certificate to Sports Authority. When we come back, let's talk about the Panthers. Big game coming up for the Bears as they try to go to 3-2 on the season. With Bears safety Ryan Mundy and Tom Thayer, I'm Zach Zabin on Bears All Access, brought to you by Sports Authority, live from the Chicago Bears Network studios at Halas Hall in front of our audience from JLL on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. The Chicago Bears Network presents Inside the Bears, a unique TV show starring Anthony Adams and Lindsay Petrucci, brought to you by Jimmy John's and airing every Sunday night at 11:05 on Fox Chicago. Go to chicagobears.com/insidethebears. This is Bears All Access, brought to you by Sports Authority, coming to you live from the Chicago Bears Network studios at Hallis Hall in front of our group of friends from JLL. Tom Thayer's along. I'm Zach Zaidman. Tom just kind of whacked me on the arm as a sense of endearment. I don't know what that was, and I have this tingly feeling. This can't be good.
What, are you going to be out 2 weeks now?
I think if I would definitely be a game-time decision. I mean, that's a strong hit right there. Ryan Mundy is our guest. He's a strong hitter as well. The new Bears safety who comes over from the Giants after spending most of his NFL career with the Pittsburgh Steelers. But from what I understand, and you know, we do a lot of scouting here on the show, a little bit of a history between you and our friends here from JLL.
Just a little bit. I got a bone to pick with JLL.
Uh-oh.
So right before I signed here in March, I was still with the Giants and participating in their player engagement programs. And the player engagement director at the Giants had put together, we called it the executive workshop. And it was basically myself and five other teammates. We were selected to interview for an internship. And the companies that were there were JLL, JP Morgan Chase, Quest Diagnostics, Lowe's Corporation, the NFL, and there was one more company that slipped in my mind. But the whole process was, so they took us through, they taught us how to do interviews, taught us how to build our resume and all that good stuff, and it was a two-day process. And on the final day, we had to do a group interview with all the companies that I listed before. So I'm in there. And I'm in a little bit of background. After the season, I had started taking my real estate classes for New York,
right?
Because that's something that I have some interest in doing. So I knew Jones Lang LaSalle was in there. So I'm sitting there basically talking to the Jones Lang LaSalle rep. You know, I'm pitching myself, and she did not pick me. She picked somebody else.
Man.
So I ended up when it actually was Johnson & Johnson. That's the company I left out. Johnson & Johnson. It was a great experience, a great company, but I was really trying to throw myself at Jones Lang LaSalle, and you guys just didn't want me.
What'd you wear?
Messed up.
Was it your outfit or?
No, I mean, I had the suit on, I had my tie on, I had my tie bar on. My shoes were shined up.
Was she a Jets fan?
No, you know what it was? She was a Spartan. She was a Michigan State Spartan.
There you go. That'll do it every time.
And she was from Milwaukee.
Really?
Ooh. Yep.
Man,
that's messed up. Yeah. See how y'all did me?
Well, if it makes you feel better, and I don't know that it makes Johnson & Johnson feel better, you scored on their owner, right? Because you took Woody Johnson's team into the end zone.
I did. And actually, the people that I was working with at my internship at Johnson & Johnson, they sent me a big congratulations, so I'm sure.
Did they really?
Yeah. So it wasn't all bad over at J&J.
The Bears Coaches Show, brought to you by McDonald's, featuring Jeff Joniak. The Bears coaching staff airs Monday nights at 6:30 p.m. on WBBM News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM, part of the Chicago Bears network of shows. Zach, Tom, joined by Bear safety Ryan Mundy. So the Panthers, Cam Newton, it all starts with him, but he doesn't look like Cam Newton, at least statistically. What do you see when you watch him on video?
He's still a very capable athlete. You know, anytime you have a guy who's 6'6", 250 pounds, can run a 4.4 when he's healthy and still throw it 60 yards, you got to be ready for him. And we're expecting his A game. I know they're a little banged up at the running back position with their two lead running backs could potentially be out. But they still have a very capable group. You know, I'm sure you guys are familiar with Greg Olsen, first-round draft pick, has a lot of pedigree and has had a lot of success down there in Carolina. And also, their wide receivers are capable of getting the job done too. Kelvin Benjamin, guys I know personally, Jason Avant and Jericho Cotchery can also get the job done too.
You know, Cam Newton in all of his awesomeness, when you put him at when his supporting cast is at least less than their best, that's when he's the scariest because he's so much desperate to complete the task for that whole team.
Yeah, he has the ability to throw the team on his back and make a play and potentially win the game for him. So we're going to have to shut him down early and make sure that we discourage him from doing that.
How do you prepare for a team when you don't know who's playing for that team? That's next with Ryan Mundy on Bears All Access, brought to you by Sports Authority in front of our friends from JLL, live from the Chicago Bears Network studios at Hallis Hall on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. Watch Bears Game Night Live, brought to you by CDW, Sundays at 10:35 p.m. on Fox Chicago, part of the Chicago Bears Network. So is this radio program, Bears All Access, brought to you by Sports Authority, live tonight for the Chicago Bears Network studios at Hallis Hall, in front of our audience from JLL, 85 Bear. Tom Thayer is here. I'm Zach Zabin. Our final few moments here with Bears safety Ryan Mundy. And you know, the Panthers injury report, it's just as extensive as the Bears injury report. But the weird thing is, you know, they've got players. D'Angelo Williams, I don't know if you saw this, Tom, on Twitter. You know, Ryan's very socially conscious with the media and everything. But he tweeted a picture of him in a cast. So I'm going to guarantee he doesn't play on Sunday, even though Ron Rivera said he's highly doubtful.
Do you know it's his cast? Don't believe everything you see in those
smoking
pictures.
Mirrors.
I don't know. I don't do anything with that. But I don't. It doesn't matter who the running back is. It's, as long as Cam Newton's there and his offensive line and the defensive star potential they have in that team, that's good enough. But because to me, is I say this with respect to guys like Matt Forte, that running backs are a dime a dozen in the sense that there's a guy there inside that facility that's ready to take 30 carries this weekend.
Right, right. And, you know, they're a very capable team. You know, they beat Detroit, and then Detroit comes around and beats Green Bay. So it's week to week, and you have to prepare and expect everyone's A game on Sunday.
It's really the key, and it's been such a weird season in the NFL. Each week is on its own. Mark Trestman was pointing this out, that, you know, you look at Tampa Bay, they get crushed in Atlanta, then they go to Pittsburgh, you know, tough place to play.
Very tough.
They win. Atlanta up and down, they lose to Minnesota, and then I like what Tom did earlier today. Before we got on the air, Tom looks at our friends here from JLL and goes, Packers or Vikings tonight?
No response. But that's
the,
you know, that's the division.
The lesser of two evils.
Yeah, that's and division game, that's the thing, though. You have to win in the division, and when you lose one at home that's in the division, now it puts the pressure on you to go on the road. Why have you guys been able to play well on the road? Is there a key to it, or is it just the opponent that particular day?
I really can't put my finger on it. If I had to guess, I would say there's definitely a heightened sense of urgency when you go on the road. Going into a hostile, we've been in two hostile environments, and the pressure is definitely on. Not to say that the pressure is not on at home, but you're out of your settings, your comfort zone a little bit, and I think that heightens your senses and what have you, and you go out there and perform. But it is literally week to week. And like you mentioned with the division games, it's important to get those, particularly when you play an opponent that's your rival, because they know you, you know them. There's no secrets on the field. You just got to go out there and execute.
One thing that's going to be good, it's only a high temperature, I think, of 72 degrees in Carolina, and you're wearing blue jerseys. So to me, that's something I would look at in anticipation of what could be a really hot game. Mm-hmm. And I think the fact that it's going to be cooler will be something that in the long run will help the Bears.
Yeah.
For those of you guys that have to play the over 50 snaps, you know, you don't get you're not a relief position. The offensive line's not a relief position, quarterback either. So it'll be a factor if it's cooler down there when you travel.
Yeah, I'm sure it'll help. I'm definitely sure it'll help. But, you know, I think there's a little bit of a psyche that goes into the jersey colors, and wearing dark colors makes you hot.
You're a sweaty offensive lineman. I
mean, those guys sweat when it's 30 degrees out, so it doesn't make a difference.
Before we say goodbye here, the NFL announcing earlier today that the 2015 draft is going to be held in Chicago.
Really?
Yeah, that's a big deal.
When?
In late
2015.
Yes.
No, I mean,
exactly.
In April or May.
It's brilliant.
Is it April or May?
I think it's both. It's right at the end of April and the start of May. So to answer your question.
Yeah. Screws up my surfing season.
Oh, just deal with it. Real quick, do you remember the day you were drafted and what that was like?
It was a great experience. I was at home. Back then the draft was 3 days. Or actually, it was 2 days. I'm sorry.
Okay.
The first day, it was, the first through fourth round, I think. And then after that, I was the second day guy. But I was at home with my family, fell asleep, got a few calls. Wasn't the call. But finally, Mike Tomlin got on the line and said, "You ready to be a Pittsburgh Steeler?" And I said, "Yeah." And then we got
it done. Was that your team growing up?
It wasn't my team, but I had favorite players.
See, that works. Tom got drafted by two teams.
I came out in the USFL NFL day.
Oh, wow.
And
okay.
I signed in the USFL, drove home, and the Bears drafted me. But so I went to the USFL for 3 years.
Oh, you did?
Yeah.
Oh.
And then he won a championship for the Bears. in 85. So it worked out well.
Yep.
Congratulations, Tom. Ryan, thank you so much. It was a lot of fun. Yes, number 57. Ryan, thank you so much for spending the hour with us. And thanks to our friends from JLL, from executive producer Greg Miller and Paul Zarang. I'm Zach Zabeman and Tom Thayer. We say goodbye on Bears All Access, brought to you by Sports Authority on Chicago Sports Radio 670, The Score.